Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 32. Woohoo!
Yeah, 32. Yeah. We don't have any big... I love how at the beginning of this podcast we had all these number-based jokes about our show.
But the number-based jokes when you hit 30 are usually pretty fucked.
So. We're just reaching the sad points.
Anyway.
We haven't had any little baby podcasts, so we're...
Oh, God.
I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always...
is Pat.
Oh, God, a cat, not Nat, because my hair looks fucking great today.
Your hair does look fantastic.
Yeah, it does. Haircuts.
We're going to do things a little bit different today because we have to talk about Batman Damned. I'm not going to throw any shade. When we get to Batman Damned, things might get loud. Things might get vulgar.
They will get vulgar.
I guess by the nature of the conversation has to. So if you're not going to be interested in that, then this might be where you need to turn off because we're going to get into it when it comes to that one, but we're going to do things that are a little out of order from what you are used to today, and we're going to go right into the top of the stack. Top of the stack, once again, is our section where we talk about a comic book that was either put to the top of our stack because we were excited to read it, or retroactively because it was something that just really felt like should have been the top of the stack, should have been the first thing we read.
Yeah, if we had known about it
previously. If we had realized that was going to be. Or in my case, I do have a work obligations, so that changes the order of how I read.
I will say this, my top stack is like 1.5 because the other thing has to involve more conversation.
There's a side note too because of
this week's top stack, at least that's what it is.
Right. And for me it's mine is last week, so we'll go from there.
Yeah, whatever.
So. But yeah. Alright.
Anyway, let's take us away.
I will lead us off with Thor number 5. This is written by Jason Aaron with art by Christian Ward, who's actually billed as a guest artist, and I think that's really awesome for Mike Del Mundo saying that, hey, Del Mundo's our main artist for the series. But we have a guest artist in the story. So this story is dealing with King Thor way in the future. In fact, I think they say untold eons from now. Okay. I was just excited about this because they had revealed sort of a Phoenix version of Wolverine. And in revealing a Phoenix version of Wolverine, who they called Old Man Phoenix, I now want to read a Wolverine story. So Marvel, give me this story. This is the one I want. I'm going to read something quick from this. This is Wolverine and Thor having a conversation. Logan, my friend, it is good to see you, but where have you been all this millennia? Walking the spaceways, mostly. Stabbing old stars that needed putting out of their misery, burning black holes. Being a space Ronin, I guess you'd say. The last damn cosmic cowboy still riding the range. I want that story that he just described of a wandering Wolverine at the end of the universe killing stars and, yeah.
I'm looking at the cover of
this. Yeah. There's a lot of fiery stuff in that cover, huh?
Yeah, I mean, when he first comes back, his paws are literally on fire.
But Christian Ward does an absolute, like, magnificent digital, like, glowing painting. There's just so much fun to be had in this, and they reveal at the end of the villain in the future, because in the future there's very little left. And, yeah, this was just really cool. I love the cosmic stuff right now, and I love the weird shit, and this hit both of those notes.
I just kind of like weird shit.
Yeah, you just said stabbing stars, and I'm just like, it's too much for me. I'm still trying to comprehend one star. what do you have for us, Kat?
I guess I have like a small rant with mine. So, Batman number 55 is 1.5 technically, but. Okay, you know what? I went through 4 issues of bullshit to get to this, and you know what? Just start with this next time. Give me the one issue, like Nat said, with the whole court thing. Cool. I don't care about that middle issue there where he's with Dick again, and he's like, hey, yeah, we teammates, we this, we that. And I'm like, And then I read this, and I was like, okay. Like, put it down. I was like, okay. I was going to unsubscribe if this wasn't worth it. Now that it's worth it. I'm just angry because no more bi-weekly because you're screwing me. No more bi-weekly. Just give me this.
Yeah, Batman 55 is Tom King and then art by Tony Daniel.
Dude, that's really pretty too.
It does. He's doing his best Jim Lee impersonation. I ain't even mad. I love Jim Lee Batman. So that's cool.
He did very well. He did very well with it, though.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good issue. I'm glad that...
I mean, I will say this. Like, the jokes in this one, too, with him actually hit when he's talking to him. He's like, you used to call me chum.
No, I didn't. Yeah, there's a really, like, that to me is the best Batman issue since 50. Is really... So it's been 5 issues.
Yeah, which in reality is, what, a month and a half?
Right?
That's horseshit. That's
kind of messed up. It was July, I think, was the... issue 50.
Yeah. So next time just one issue in between where it's bull crap and then just give me all.
Nice.
Patrick's turn.
So I got the new Teen Titans issue 22, I guess. Or it says it's the newest Teen Titans.
Oh, that's a good joke. I didn't read that. Because New Teen Titans is like the team we're all used to that was created by George Perez. So it's the newest
Teen Titans. Man, this story is just insane. Crazy.
Are we going to go down that 90s path?
Because Kid Flash was basically responsible for his friend's death at the end of the last issue. And this very heavily delves into that. And how much it is their responsibility, and Red Arrow does like the training sequence with all of them, and she's like, I can kick all of y'all's asses, so kill me.
Yeah. And she has no powers.
Yeah, and then she, oh man, when she like mind fucks Kid Flash with that was crazy. She's going like quite literally straight for the jugular, literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
With Kid Flash, because she has an arrow pointed at his jugular in one panel. And then, oh my gosh, it's so good. It's crazy. There's, like, so much backstory and team building, and also, like, the tone and everything about it. It easily makes it to the top of my stack most weeks, so I'm probably going to have to stop talking about it.
I'm so surprised in a refreshing way that this book is as good as it is. I really think that they threw the rule book out the window and said, let's do something, let's really, and he talks about it, Adam Glass talks about it in those interviews at the end of some other issues. It's just like he took the homage from the George Perez and Marv Wolfman run of, let's put a few established characters, but let's build this Teen Titan world and create mm-hmm. new characters for it and, you know, see what sticks.
Yeah, because half the team is established characters, and the other half he just made up for this newest team. But they already feel like they're just parts of the team.
And they're
the
so well developed.
Oh, all of them, just instantly off the bat, and their interactions with each other is like, you know, you see them getting better as a full team unit, whereas most of the time they're just like, we're a team and we can fight people together now.
Yay, fight people.
Now I'm back to Teen Titans Go.
Oh man, if I do that, I sing the whole entire
thing. Oh gosh.
Alright.
So just a fun, great read. Oh, good. Yeah, I'm probably gonna have to stop talking about it at the top of my stack.
I was really excited that the top of the stack today. I've read every one of these books. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yay, I read too much. Cool.
Well, let's get into some news then.
News. So the Captain Marvel trailer finally dropped.
Woo!
I have a major theory about this. I think there is only one scene in this trailer, or excuse me, two scenes in this trailer that we are actually looking at Carol Danvers. I think every single other scene that we see her in when she first arrives in Blockbuster is a Skrull.
Oh, really?
I think we're going to be dealing with a Skrull the entire movie.
I got super stoked because her helmet, she had her mohawk.
She had her mohawk helmet!
Oh, yeah.
It was so good to see that.
When they're all flying through space
together.
Just,
like, really little, too, so you have to pay close attention. It's like, got it!
Yeah.
I think that the scene, there's a scene in the trailer where she's upside down on a ship. And, like, there's, like, lightning torture stuff happening.
Yeah.
And I think that is, like, extraction of memories to put into the Skrull. So the Skrull probably doesn't know it's a Skrull, but for the majority of the film, we're dealing with a...
God. All right, well...
Yeah, conspiracy.
I just have to see it.
Yeah. But how great would that be? Like, you're in it with this hero, you're so excited, and then all of a sudden the real hero shows up and says, you are not invading Earth using
She punches an old lady, so...
I know, right?
Well, I think she punches the old lady thinking the old lady's a Skrull.
Yeah. And we don't know if she is a Skrull or not, because then it cuts right after that, because it could be a Skrull, and then she could have just punched out a
whatever, old lady. Whatever, if you see this movie and that's what happens in the movie, you're just going to be hearing yelling at front across the theater, God damn it, that!
Well, I mean, I think it would be great. I think that opens the door to revealing other heroes in the MCU or Skrulls and have been the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
God, are we going to play that game?
Well, there's got to be something. They haven't announced anything after Avengers 4 as to what the big theme is. What if it's the Secret Invasion? What if that has been in the works the whole time?
It just makes me think of that Marvel.
But the trailer was great.
Yeah.
I love the trailer. The fact that they show Binary, her using, like, her full extent of her powers and, like, lighting up like a sun being. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I read the Captain Marvel thing that you gave me, so, but otherwise I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
There was an interesting reveal at the end of I don't know if either of you read The Life of Captain Marvel, the last issue.
Dude, I have not. Fuck.
There was a very interesting reveal.
Oh, yeah. Her parentage. Yeah.
So I wonder if that's why they're doing this, to kind of build in some story. Yeah, the theory
is that's happening with Life of Captain Marvel is to create a definitive origin story, like a definitive past for Carol, because she's a character.
Changed, right?
Well, yeah, she's been around for such a long time as an ancillary character.
Yeah, because she was she was with Mar-Vell for a long time, and then that's how she got her powers.
And it was like an explosion that like combined her powers, and then her powers were sucked out by Rogue, and that's why Rogue has the ability to fly and the super strength at baseline.
God, I know nothing about Marvel.
Let's talk about
DC.
we can do that. But I was really happy with this trailer. I think that there's some really stupid hubbubs that people have about like how stoic she's playing the character.
Dude,
but
I think, like I said, sometimes people, we just need to laugh, and it's okay.
What do you mean how stoic she's playing
she's
the character?
She's a stoic
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, like she should
like,
be.
She's basically like an even more no-nonsense Superman.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You know, like, imagine Superman and then less nonsense.
Yeah. And, with a military
with
background,
a military background,
you know?
Too,
like,
so.
Yeah, I feel like everything I saw in this trailer just made me excited to see this movie, and I mean, that's really all you can do. It was a long trailer for something that was, like, the first reveal.
But
of
it was
like,
only a minute and a half, though, which is, like, normal trailer time. Yeah. Did it just feel long? Because we were, like, so...
We hadn't seen anything.
So inundated.
Yeah.
We saw a poster, and then...
Yeah,
oh, and then
true.
The poster, her cat's on the poster.
And
which is really cool.
Footage. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that. Oh, man, that's awesome.
So
I don't know. All I saw
her cat's
is
a space alien. It's not an actual
cat. Yeah,
alien.
It's an alien.
All I saw is the fact that she had her mohawk. And it's like, you did it right!
So if we want to go into DC, we could totally do this now, because I actually have another, like, crazy speculative tinfoil hat theory.
Oh,
dude,
my God,
just
Matt.
Start getting tinfoil hats. We should have a tinfoil.
Maybe that's a new segment. We should do Nat's tinfoil.
Nat's tinfoil
predictions.
Or cat and tinfoil hat.
We'll take a picture before each episode.
Oh, God. Anyway.
So
more tinfoil hat theories.
We had an official reveal of Joaquin Phoenix, Arthur Fleck, Affleck, you know, Batman, and Ben Affleck.
You said reveal and I went somewhere else.
So we had his reveal of Arthur Fleck, which, you know, word pun. And then we had the official reveal of him in makeup. And then we had the quote unquote leaked footage. Seemed pretty well shot and pretty well framed to be, you know, some paparazzo just hanging out on set.
I think it's one of the backup cameras.
Yeah, like it certainly looked like documentary footage.
I think it's very purposefully leaked.
Yeah, it's leaked.
I will say this, like, the Joker I can handle to an extent because he's not, he's clown-esque. This one, he actually looks like a fucking clown, and I'm like, God, I fucking hate clowns.
He has the whole, he has, like, the big tie,
yeah,
and, like,
he
the
does,
big shoes.
And I'm just like,
so,
damn it, I'm gonna have nightmares.
There are, we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, the fact that it looks like maybe they're going with sort of a failed, like, kids clown or, like, TV show clown.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any thoughts? Like, Patrick, what's your, like, your opinions?
Every famous Joker role that you can think of has taken the Joker in a direction that he's never been before, and already you can tell that this is a direction. Like Jack Nicholson's Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker.
Well, they all have their own niche though, because the Jack Nicholson one is like the comic.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's like you know, they're all very specifically different Jokers, and like that's what makes them iconic. And so this is already iconic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to me, that's saying this is already going to be a great Joker role. And also, I don't know if either of y'all caught any of the picket signs they had in the background. There's a whole crowd on the subway, and he walks off the train in the scene. And so there's picket signs in the background, and it's saying stuff like clown for mayor and blame the Waynes and, like, all this stuff. So it looks like it's going to be kind of a reprisal, too, of the 80s Batman in a way, where he's where it's going to be, like, running for mayor of Gotham.
So you have hit the nail on the head as to my theory. So I think what the footage that we saw is literally, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie. And the Joker, or Arthur Fleck, joins a political protest because he gets to wear a clown mask. I think everything that we're seeing in that sequence is him joining the protest. And, you know, like, people run out of the subway and they're all scared because there's a bunch of clowns and the clowns are all picketing.
God, yeah.
Damn it.
I don't think that was his idea. I think he joined the protest. And when we see him walk away and he pulls the mask off, but he still has the makeup on underneath, is we're watching a downward spiral of a failed comedian trying to be a bigger person in the world.
So basically he you know, gets booed off this stage, and then, like, right outside is a rally of some sort, and he's just like, what's going on here? There's a big crowd and everyone's gathered to see this. Maybe there's, like, a speaker or something, and he's like, look how many people this guy's gathered. Like, I only had, like, two people at the comedy club.
So he puts on the mask and, you know, just blends in with all the other clowns.
Oh, man. No, yeah, it's so
I also think so good the already. Look is prototype. I think this is, like, we're slowly, the makeup is slowly going to get messier and less defined. Because there is a scene or a shot that they've shown of him as a true clown, and the makeup is the makeup we see in that scene, but it is much more pristine. It's
something very, you would expect from, like, a birthday clown.
Yeah, like a birthday clown. And, yeah. But, so I think we're going to see
test shots where you see he has, like it's running already.
Right.
Like,
I don't think he's going to have the red nose in, like, the final look of the character. I think it's going to be slowly. Or they actually will do the bat.
Does he have the red nose in the test footage?
He does.
Okay.
I had this strange feeling that in this movie he's going to fall into the vat of chemicals and come out, and seeing his ghost face, like his paleness, will have him put the makeup back on.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, like, a birthing moment for him where he's like, I'm one step beyond.
I told you when Joaquin Phoenix was announced for this that I was so excited because I was certain that he was going to do a good Joker role. Everything I've seen since then is only, like, proving my point even more.
This is a funny thing for me, is, like, I don't really want a Joker definitive story, like, of his origin, but I really want to see the shit out of this movie. Like, I think this movie looks spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be, you've mentioned it before, Nat, that would be a good framing thing, is just at the very end of the movie, he maybe has, like, somebody tied up, or, like, Batman tied up or something like that.
And that's just how I remember it today.
Yeah. He's like, well, and that's how I got these scars.
Right? Exactly. Maybe
something like that.
I think the reason that I'm probably usually, with a lot of these movies, I get so standoffish is because at the end of it, it sounds terrible, but you get people who don't actually understand the character themselves. And, like, what I had with Suicide Squad, when we had be the Joker to her Harley, and I'm like, oh god.
Yeah.
And that's always I always get apprehensive with some of that stuff, and that's probably why I'm apprehensive about this, because I'm scared to see what people are gonna say after it, and I'm just like, oh god.
Yeah. I wonder if they're gonna have an early Harley Quinn in this movie too.
I think that would be, like, this probably, is a weird question
mark. I would say probably at the end, kind of like they did in Arkham Origins, when she's in this asylum.
You just wrote the greatest end tag sequence to this movie. The person he's telling the story to is Harley in Arkham, and she's his psychiatrist.
Oh, yes!
Oh my god, that would be so good.
And then I don't understand how you didn't get there.
And you can get Margot Robbie too, is like, but like,
that's too confusing.
But without the makeup. Okay, yeah.
When they're still in production on a Joker and Harley movie in the DC worlds of DC continuity, that would just, like, mind fuck everybody. Well,
yeah,
you could
maybe, like, just have her, like, with a name tag, like, Quinzel.
Yeah, Dr. Quinzel.
Yeah.
They just paid her at the end. Dr. Quinzel, we need you back in the main office.
Yeah, exactly, like, yeah.
And she gets up and leaves. And then, oh, no!
Yeah, she, you know, she says something like, this is the 14th story you've told me about why you're here. You need to break this psychosis or something like that.
Oh, God, man. So now that I say that, like, man, they could really do something special with this. The movie, his performance is going to be brilliant. You can just, you can tell that it's going to be something really special.
Just the swagger he has in walking around.
He looks fucked up. Like, you can see that there's, like, a broken
always,
down
that's
person.
That's always the thing is, like, I keep seeing
he's
articles.
He's, like, physically and mentally broken down, but
pop up
entering
with,
the psychosis.
When it comes to people playing the Joker, because obviously Heath Ledger did that role, and Heath Ledger is no longer here. And Jack Nicholson has even had some fucked up shit to say about it, too. Yeah. So, that's the other thing, is I'm curious
dude,
how he's going to do after
Joaquin
that.
Joaquin Phoenix has already put himself through hell for previous roles that he's done, so...
Yeah.
I honestly imagine that this isn't going to... Like, seriously, if you want to see his prototype for the Joker character, watch The Master. And just watch him in it. And, like, he is, like... Like, he emaciated himself to play in this movie. He seriously weighs, like, 120 pounds or something
that's
like
crazy.
That. Like, he is skeletal. Like, physically. And that's not just, like, post-production stuff. Like...
Can we talk really quickly to you, like, just looking at his face in the makeup... Like, how close he looks to almost the animated series, like, facial structure.
Oh, yeah.
He freaked me out. I was
like,
wow, you actually found the person who has the Joker's face.
Yeah.
Like, that was, it's weird to me. Like, I never, like,
the
proportions always seemed wrong to me. Like, they were, like, outside of humanity. And then it's like, no, that could totally be a real person.
That's Joaquin.
So,
yeah. Oh,
man. Makes me think of the following season with the real point nose, though.
Yeah.
we
talked a little bit too much about that.
Yeah. Which is normal. Actually, why don't you pop in?
You know, I have just a quick note. It's no surprise to anyone that I'm a huge fan of G. Willow Wilson.
What?
yeah, writer of Ms. Marvel and future Wonder Woman.
Woohoo!
But she's having some pretty bad health problems recently. I saw a big post from her the other day.
I cannot say that I'm shocked, because that's like most writers who are good writers. She's like, I'm gonna work some more.
Well, yeah, and I guess she was saying she's very blunt. If you follow her on social media, she does not mince words at all. And she's like, yeah, I'm having menopause is hitting her really hard, and her vagina is acting up pretty badly, and she's had to see multiple doctors. I know, right? And so, like, none of her books, she's made that clear in her post that all of her books are on schedule, et cetera, et cetera, but she was just like, it's a pretty weird thing happening, and I just want to tell people out there that, you know, she kind of tries to, like, normalize a lot of, like, really... Like, pretty much everything that society considers, like, untouchable topics. So,
yeah.
really cool. She's just such a cool person, and I don't want her health problems.
I don't know,
for
me, if it's, like, an untouchable topic, it's just something I'm like, 25.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, not an untouchable, but just things that we don't talk about. So, it's just an example of how cool of a person she is.
What do I say to that, though? Party's like, good for her? No,
yeah.
That's not...
I'm just,
well,
I just hope that she's going to be able to get better.
Well, yeah.
I hope that this isn't a bad thing.
It takes time.
Yeah. Keep her in your thoughts and prayers. That's really all there is to say about that.
It can take up to 2 years for some of that stuff to finally regulate out, so...
Yeah.
She's been great for comics, so let's make sure that, you know,
we still
keep her around.
And the world in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I also want to do a quick shout out to Netflix's animation division, because Dragon Prince and Hilda, I didn't even know Hilda was a thing, but it is a thing, and everything is so good. They're taking fantasy in directions that I, you know, have been missing.
Yeah, it's amazing, and yeah, Netflix, I said this before, you are like the Image Comics for animation right now, and you are really just, thank you, it's great to see it.
Yeah, and then the last sort of small piece of tentative news I have is that Disney is reportedly strongly considering using James Gunn's script for Guardians 3 to end the standoff, ostensibly. That's all. Tentative. Nothing's in the works.
Once we see Avengers 4, we'll know for sure what's going
on. Yeah, exactly.
That might be why they might not be opening their mouths yet either.
Well, and now they have the acquisition of Fox, which is imminent at this point in time, to the point that Bob Iger actually said, I assume Kevin Feige will be running the X-Men division as well. So,
yeah.
So, that's pretty important stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Well, we'll stay in, like, film news a little bit. Birds of Prey is still happening from DC Worlds of DC Universe. And Black Canary and the Huntress have been cast. Black Canary is going to be played by Journey Smollett-Bell. I'm not familiar with her. The initial picture, I was like, okay, I mean, they cast somebody. And actually, like...
And she's a woman, so that and it's like, role. Okay, so we have a
female lead. Awesome. That's what it should be. She's gorgeous. I know that seems very shallow to say, but I always think of the Black Canary as being kind of a bombshell.
Yeah.
And, yeah, wow.
Yeah, I mean, she her costume literally includes fishnet stockings and booty shorts.
So there we go. I'm not completely
out of it. She has high kicks, too. Just put that out. Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm actually hoping she's a singer, too. Does she wear heels, too? She doesn't wear heels. No, because
she...
At least
in some iterations, she probably has, but like in modern iterations of the character,
I don't think so.
She's the most accomplished fighter in the DC universe.
Yeah, she's a boxer.
Yeah.
She can kick the shit out of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then Mary Elizabeth Winstead is actually cast as Huntress, and I can't be more excited about that.
Nice.
She's so great. I love Scott Pilgrim. I think that's an underrated movie, and I'm glad that she's going to be part of the DC universe. The world
just makes
DC.
Me think
and
of,
she plays Ramona Flowers.
She plays Ramona Scott Flowers in Pilgrim, Scott Pilgrim. Yes,
the well, yeah, because they talk about there's this thing that I keep seeing pop up, and it's like all of what's her name's exes, and it's like. Don't you feel sad now, Scott Pilgrim? And right. Chris Evans, and I think they put
Brie Larson up,
and I was
Chris Evans, Brie Larson, and Brandon Routh.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Brandon Routh is now Adam on Legends of Tomorrow.
That's true.
So all of the exes, poor Michael Cera. Everybody else is going to have other stuff going on and like our superheroes, and he's
still waiting for the Michael Cera superhero.
Yeah, he's like, but I was Scott. Stick with DC here. We'll pop over to the Titans character spots that landed like little 20-second character beats. This gave me a little bit more faith. I actually like the tone of Starfire a lot more, especially the little giggle that she does at Beast Boy transforming naked. It was like, oh, that's very, like, that felt very Starfire to me. It's like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I think the more and more stuff I'm seeing, I'm getting a little bit more faith, but I still just need to see it. I keep saying that, I just need to see it.
I'm like, here, you have a week, and I'm like, I don't see no Titan, so I'm giving you nothing.
I already got the DC Universe streaming. I've been watching, like, old episodes of Brave and the Bold and then the DC Universe. Fucking the whole Wonder Woman series is on there. Linda Carter?
Yeah, they have the 70s one, too.
So it's... and then...
I love Linda Carter.
I really think Robin, too. Like, I'm really, like, digging what that actor's doing. I just hope that he's not killing people. That's really where I'm standing after the fuck Batman line. Like, I just...
Considering the whole point of that part where he's like, I'm becoming like him, and then I'm like, okay, so you better not be actually harming it. Or
right.
You can maim, but don't kill, Jesus.
Don't kill. and then we have the X-Men Dark Phoenix trailer dropped yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was yesterday.
That looks really cool. I usually don't care at all about the X-Men.
See, I love the Dark Phoenix saga. I've never actually read it, but I fucking love it. So I'm just like, yeah, good job, yeah.
I'm going to be the Debbie Downer of the group and pull a Patrick and just go, meh.
I don't know.
Really?
I actually really like the cast for this X-Men. Like, the X-Men Last Stand, I'm like, yeah, it is setting on fire.
I mean, there was nothing in that trailer that blew me away to the point where I was like, yeah, I'm ready that this movie's coming out. It's like, okay, cool, I'm glad. I'll see it. You know, the effects are cool, and I like Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones.
But they're like, who's Jennifer Lawrence? And I'm like, yeah!
I actually thought Jessica Chastain looked really interesting. She, like, with the super white blonde hair and didn't look like she had eyebrows. Like,
she feels like Anna Frost.
I don't know who she's supposed to be. They were saying that she was Lilandra, like she was going to be one of the space aliens that was here.
I'm actually like decently.
They're like on Valentine's Day,
just like specifically the way they were talking. I think about the Dark Phoenix and like what to do about it. I kind of like those stories.
I like the mythology of it, and hopefully they'll dive into like what the Phoenix itself is.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like the stories where they're like, should we save this person? But they're pure evil, like, and they're like, no, I'm trying to be good, but I am evil.
I don't know. I've always liked that. I should really read it, honestly. Yeah. I know about it, but I've never read it.
So our last bit of news before we go into a in-depth discussion is Batman Curse of the White Knight, officially announced by Sean Murphy.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm just like sitting over here. I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna have to eat ice water or ice soup for a while.
So this is gonna be from Black Label. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, and they were saying that the printings of The White Knight, when they come out on trade, are going to be
Black Label as well.
Retroactively added to Black Label.
Yep.
So,
see, now it makes me curious. I'm like, are you going to move your blurred bubbles in on that one scene, or are you just going to be a dick about
it? Still hasn't, DC hasn't confirmed whether or not they're going to do a, like, an unrated version of that. After Batman Damned, I doubt that's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah, way to take a stand on anything, DC.
Yeah. But this is going to feature Azrael, who is a character who is deep-rooted in a religious cult, and then at some point in time becomes Batman. Once again, tinfoil hat theory, just based on the stories that we've gotten. I think Azrael is Jason Todd in this story. Anyway.
Well, we'll just have to wait.
We're going to be waiting a long time for
Sean
that.
Murphy has
well, yeah, it's
in
2019,
shot.
Right?
Yeah, so the issue one will be in 2019. He draws pretty fast, so it wouldn't surprise me if it's early 2019.
But I'm not patient.
All right, so we're going to dive into it right now.
We mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to go put this out there. You know, we all know, you're going to have to accept it. The sheer amount of penis jokes I'm going to make, and you just need to let it happen.
we're going to try to take like the discussion topic seriously here. But Batman Damned came out. I really enjoyed this book. I think it's great. But
I'm sorry, like on the verge of the fact that it's what $6.99, right?
Yeah.
Just the way that the book is in general, like it's bound. It looks like a little graphic novel.
Yeah,
it was worth the $7.
It feels like a premium product.
Yep.
But the big news came out.
Unfortunately, before we get into the real review, we have to talk about the.
Well, I'm going to talk about the fact that because of something that occurred in this book, they announced a second printing that will remove the male nudity from the issue. And this is a mature reader's book, and they are censoring it for print.
I don't even know if you want to go that far yet, just in the fact that, like, I'm legitimately getting pissed off at the internet right now because they keep ruining shit for me.
Ooh, also, before we get, so Batman Damned, writer Brian Azzarello, and art and cover by Lee Bermejo.
I hate being this person, but I'm like, your first name is so American, your last name, I'm like, you know, I feel like your parents would have given you, like, a... not such a common name.
You talking about Brian?
Yeah.
Brian Azzarello?
Yeah. I was like,
Brian Azzarello, shout out, favorite Wonder Woman writer, the New 52 Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. But like I said, I'm just like, I got two common names, and then your last names are like vowels.
So how do we want to handle this? Do we want to discuss the penis first? Like,
probably.
Is that what, like, are we going to dive in?
Because that's what
I feel like we have to, because that's the only thing people are talking about this book is the fact that in a couple panels you see Batman's bat penis.
yeah we see some
bat member.
Yeah,
we see some dick, not Grayson.
yes, yep,
the bat family jewels.
I don't know, it's mostly never mind.
We're
not gonna go there.
Nightwing's
bow staff. We're trying to get it all out.
God
right now,
damn it.
You know,
well, you have to, or it doesn't go anywhere.
You may have to read a condom.
Now we all know what Catwoman saw in him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god.
All right.
Okay.
So, yes. That's all out. So,
dude, one of the articles even just talked about the fact that he was circumcised, and I'm like, dude, come
on.
Yeah.
So here's the problem I have is a lot of these articles that have come out don't read like they've actually read the comic book.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. It just sounds like they've heard that Batman has his penis out.
Yeah, well, and they saw the panel, printed the panel, and said, oh, man, we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
But that was the thing is, like, I heard someone talking about it, and they were saying how they're like, they're taking these, like, childhood heroes and making them for mature content. And I'm like, dude, I can't even think of any comics within the last 2 years off the top of my head that I'm like, this is for a kid.
So
it's more, they're more adult entertainment. They usually cover a writer's spectrum of that.
Batman has not been solely for kids since 1989 when he rolled up in a Batmobile and blew up a chemical plant on film.
Touche.
Yeah.
So that argument that Batman is a character for children, the answer is yes. He's also a character for adults.
Well, yeah.
But there's different
mostly,
interpretations of
mostly,
the character.
I was mostly just thinking on the fact that you have Death in the Family, where literally a Robin dies in his comic book.
He's beat to nearly death with a crowbar in that.
I mean, can we not... I feel like Batman's history isn't even relevant in this, because this is the first book out of DC's Black Label, which is an explicitly mature NSFW line that is coming out. And so, honestly, my first reaction, so Nat did spoil the page for me, but then upon going back and reading it, my first reaction was, this is a very bold step, not only for this book, but for the line as well, that they're taking a, that they are, you know, saying, this is what we're doing, and we're not afraid to do it. Yeah. And apparently they are afraid to do it. So why do it?
Apparently they weren't afraid. This had to have made it through editorial several times.
Well,
like,
that was my point. I think we talked about it. But since
it made it to publishing, why walk it back now?
Because people complain. And that's what it comes down to. Because I guarantee you, parents were like, oh my god, my kid saw this, and I'm just like, your kid shouldn't see it anyway.
Yes. It is a job of retailers, and like, I work at Griffin Games and Comics, and it is our job. Well, no, it's, as a retailer, I take it upon myself to make sure that people know what they are buying. This is a mature reader's book.
Well,
it says it on the back. It says mature readers.
This is also a top. It's alphabetically B, which puts it on the top shelf for us. So it should be out of reach.
Well, no, and the other part of it is, too, is, like, I always go on the verge of personal responsibility. If you don't know what your kid's reading and you're just handing them shit, that's your fault as a parent.
Yeah, it is, and it isn't, you know, like, you should be doing the research. Just because Batman like is Andy, on it doesn't mean that it's... Dark Knight is not a film that kids should be seeing.
My girlfriend's parents asked me, hey, is this okay for an 12-year-old to read? No, it's not. No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's all you do. You ask questions and you look into it. Yep. You have the goddamn internet.
You have the people who work at the comic book store to ask, is this going to be appropriate? No.
Yeah.
And it is not. It says mature readers on it.
I'm sure as a comic salesperson that, you know, you're standing there and this kid, like, 11 years old walks up like, can I buy the Batman, damn mister?
I'm going to say, like, hey, are your parents around?
I feel like your parents should be around for this purchase. And,
Is it's not like I see, like, a full shot of, I mean... Okay, I'm gay. I don't want to see a dick. It is what it is. I don't care either way. But the fact that you made a giant deal out of this, and you spoiled a goddamn comic for me, too, that I'm still angry about...
No. It's not spoiled. That's the other frustrating part about this.
None of the story is being talked about.
Is this scene is so... I mean, it's a good scene, like, in relation to the rest of the story, but it's... There's the rest of the story, which is so good and compelling and beautiful and majestic, and the only thing people are focusing on is Batman's fucking penis.
Yeah.
But, you're right on the story. I don't know. I'm just sitting here and I'm like, as a reader, you predisposed me to something that I didn't want to know about, so fuck you.
Well, and it formulates the way that you read the book.
I'll totally straight up admit that.
Because when I showed you, Patrick, I hadn't realized that it had become a controversy, that, like, people were like... Oh, yeah. Like, for me... Like,
well, because that was the day it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? And I had read it the day it came out.
I had read it the afternoon before. So, like, I already knew that that was in there. I was a bit shocked when I was like...
Yeah.
So, there's a question of whether it was necessary. And my response to that, and we're all going to have our own opinions of this, so I'm going to lay mine out, is who the fuck cares if it was necessary? The artist, Liebermejo, made that decision to draw it. Maybe it was haunting him at night to think about, like, what the fuck does Batman's penis look like? So he took this opportunity to draw it. I don't know. I'm not Liebermejo. If that was the choice that he put in this book for a mature reader, that's the choice he made. So the answer for me, the question of whether or not it needed to be in there, I don't fucking care because I didn't draw it.
So the other night, actually, after... Because you texted both Kat and I that it had basically become a controversy.
Well, yeah, because I posted it.
Or maybe it was you. I posted it.
Well, he started it. I posted it in our group because I'm just like, yeah. Bat penis. I don't know.
But so either way, like, that night, I was at work at the time, and that night I came home and I sat down for an hour and I wrote down almost a full page of bullet point theories about why it is appropriate and necessary in the story. I don't know if I can just go down quickly and, like, list them off. So, firstly, literally showing Batman raw and uncut, a different side of Batman that we've never seen before, to show that Black Label can do whatever it wants in a bigger picture. Obviously, that kind of failed. And the book is, like, nightmarish and dreamlike. This one's kind of my tinfoil hat theory, but it's kind of like forgetting your pants nightmare dream.
Okay.
You know? Also, the city is like, the city itself is showing Gotham's underbelly because the art is so
low to the ground,
bleak and like, yeah. and like gray and like. Like most of it takes place in like ghettos, basically.
He punches a cop in the face out of the ambulance in the first part of the book.
After the cop also, cuts his face with a pair of scissors.
Also, let's not forget that John Constantine in the beginning introduces himself as the unreliable narrator. So the fact that we even see his penis really says more about John Constantine than it does about anybody else.
Yeah, and John Constantine is sexually ambiguous.
Yeah. So why is John Constantine fixated on Batman's penis? And then also. After that, we have the full-page juxtaposition of Bruce Wayne literally laid bare in front of his alter ego, Batman.
Yeah.
He is literally laid bare in front of his bat suit. And,
and the bat suit reaches out towards him.
And, yeah, it's menacing him. And he's, like, in a fetal position, like, naked. And that's the most vulnerable, I think, you've ever seen Batman before. And then, finally, this one's just storytelling. At the time, he's getting a full body scan from his computer. Why would he not be completely naked to get the best readings? Yeah. So
this is it's an interesting case because if you're gonna do the full body scan,
sorry,
go for it. Sorry, you can go.
So, for me, like I don't know, nudity is one of those things where it's I don't ever find it necessary, which seems weird. I mean, it's hard to explain how I go about this, but for me, it was the artist's choice. He does what he wants. I don't really care. But for me, I was like, okay, I don't feel like it could have gone this way. For me, the most vulnerable, people are saying to me, because I said something about it, and people are like, oh, it's showing his vulnerability. I was like, I see more vulnerability in the next page when he's on, like you talked about, on the floor, naked, fetal position like this, terrified, than seeing his number one, you see a shaft. You don't even really see it. Like, you can't even see.
And it's like half-shaded, too.
This is going to sound really weird. You can't even see the color of it, really.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. It's like a shadowy figure that you know there's a dick there. That's basically, it's like a shadow puppet theater at this point.
Shadows of the night.
Basically what it is. So the fact that it blew up the way it did, but I was like, I feel like I'm about to get a full frontal face of like his entire groin area, and it's not really that prevalent. Do I want to see that? Me personally, no. And it's just because of how I am, but like...
You know, I'm kind of half and half with you on that one, Kat. Like, part of me is like, like, why is it necessary?
Well, the other part of me questions, too, and he might have been goaded, I don't know, until he says himself. He can do whatever he wants, but part of me wonders if they're, like, saying, be mature for mature's sake to him a little bit, which, and like I said, I don't care what he does. It's his art. I'm not going to tell him what to do with his art. That's not
So I actually have a theory behind that, is I feel like this showed that we are not ready for an R-rated Batman. Like, in one fail swoop, it said, nope, people aren't ready for this. I think this was a test to see if the audience was going to be able to handle the level of darkness and adult themes that this is going to go in, and we failed. As a general audience, we can't handle that. We are so immature that we can't handle a fucking penis from a superhero. How are we going to handle when the Joker has somebody by their hair and starts slitting their throat in the comic book? Like, we're not going to be able to handle that because clearly we can't handle somebody walking around naked in their own home.
That's a mental preparation kind of deal thing for me, though. Like, I understand, like, just looking... I mean, it's called Batman Damned. Like, it's not going to be a friendly, hello.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, it's a... The cover says it. I mean, it's a very, very dark...
Yeah. The cover appears to be Batman turning into the Joker.
I don't even know what
that is. With, like, his face falling apart. So, I think it serves as a warning that we can't handle this kind of stuff. I think there's a bit of, like, the misogynistic state, and this is going to go, like, really high level. I don't know that we would have a controversy if all of a sudden Catwoman had hugged him naked in the Batcave. I don't think people have this conversation about that. If it was Catwoman nude versus Batman being nude in the story, and I think it's fucked up. Because I think in both instances, if you're going to be upset about it, and it should be an upset on both sides... And I think that's...
I guess we wouldn't know until we saw it.
And now it's not going to be anything. We're not going to see it. And now we're we've already had the bubble burst. So there's no...
So the other part of me sort of going back to, like, the nudity, like, thing being uncomfortable.
It's a thing for us, even as a country, where it's not... For me personally, I'm not huge on nudity just because it means different things for me. And I've had... not arguments, but in discussions about it.
Well, yeah, but like I said,
for
part
me,
of me,
it's
like
a different, it's a different posture of what it means. And for some people, it means nothing, but for me, it means more than that. And it's just because of what it is to me. But
I mean, like I was mentioning earlier, part of me totally agrees with you, but the other part of me is when I'm watching movies and stuff, I think it's really weird. So this is a particular thing that I think it's really weird after couples finish having sex that they immediately turn over and pull the blanket up so that you can't see any nudity.
Yeah.
And how people come out of the showers already in their towels.
Yeah.
I think stuff like that is really weird. And so I think, like, a brief flash of a penis or vagina or boobs every now and then actually removes this level of awkwardness that I usually feel when I see nudity. And then I'm just like, I would rather see, even as awkward as it is to see a penis, it's more awkward to put on your towel in the shower and then come out.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And as we were talking about this, I thought about that fact that this is probably the, because of the mature rating, they don't have to, they didn't have to do some sort of forced shadows and like forced, like you can actually just draw him walking. Like that's the thing. It's like there doesn't have to be.
I mean, my big thing is this is with, if you're going to do something like this, don't fucking back down, you bunch of, like,
at this point in time, how do they not? How do they just make the stand and say, okay, we're not going to do this?
By saying this is Black Label,
I understand the digital space because you as a, it's very hard for them to police the digital space. So for people under the age getting it,
I can see on the digital ones blacking it out, but print copies where you have,
no.
Like with that, I'm just kind of,
so
it's not something I want to see. It is.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly care one way or the other.
Yeah.
If there wasn't, like I said, I got more vulnerability from him being naked in the fetal position on the floor than I did seeing his very, very shadowed tip of his penis.
Okay, so I think we've gotten it out, right? We've gotten all the penis stuff out. Let's talk about the story. Like, let's talk about the comic book.
That's the most unfortunate thing about this controversy is that it overshadows how fucking fantastic this book is. Like.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on in this book? Like, from the get-go,
I have to add something to my notes. Sorry.
It's, from the get-go, we have, like, Batman in an ambulance. He's like a feral animal, and then he's not. Like, he has, like, multiple stab wounds. They say it in the ambulance. And he gets back to the Batcave, and he doesn't. And his parents
he doesn't have the injuries.
He ran into John Constantine
before. No, that was why he was doing the body scan.
Oh, so Constantine healed him?
I don't know.
But Constantine doesn't appear until after he does that whole sequence.
But no, he finds him in the alleyway.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And he says, "You're unreliable narrator." So I don't know if he did or it. He fucking. I can't read this comic alone in the dark. Or
there's a lot of like, there's a lot of really weird.
I'm like, if this was a movie, I would not be watching it.
And then the Joker may be dead, but then he's probably not.
Okay, so there's like, there's a really, like, I almost think we need to go character for character, like, what, like, looking at things. Are we assuming his weird demon creature is the Enchantress?
That's what
that
I was getting from it.
I don't know. I don't know much about the Enchantress.
So
I just saw.
Throughout
she was
the.
Like, part of me wondered if it was, she says that. I'm your secret and you are mine. And she's scared of him. So I'm like, what does that even mean?
I mean,
she's been haunting him since he was a child.
Yeah, so there's these flashbacks throughout the book of him as a kid with his parents. And she's like in the corner talking to him.
And she's talking to him from behind the tree in the park.
And then, he has the nightmare where she's like, she's scared of him and has that, was it a dead bat?
Yeah, she's eating a bat in one scene.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like, what does that mean? And so if we're going to talk about Bruce's past, his parents were cheating on each other?
Yeah.
His parents sound like terrible people.
And
his dad
and
was
his mom knew about it?
All right.
Yeah.
To forego this part, his dad was a dick.
His dad was a dick. Yeah, I guess they never really say that Martha was with anybody else, but she knew that
Thomas was
cheating.
Well, the worst part was he kind of treats his son like shit.
Yeah.
He had him with this woman, and he's like, Dad, look at this. And he, like, flips him a coin.
Yeah, to get him out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know. And the woman's like, I don't know about this. Your kid's here. And he's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, this is like, this is a dark portrayal.
Yeah, and it's kind of hinted at that he might have actually killed the Joker in like some sort of fit of...
Yeah, like a fit of rage.
Rage or injury or what? I'm sorry,
the very
end
with the freaking Jesus and the face painted like a Joker, and he's like, "Okay, so is he dead or not dead?" And I'm like, "What?"
So I guess since this was brought up, this is going to be pretty out of order. I apologize to our listeners. We're kind of just hitting things as they like pop into our brains.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a person? Is that a statue? Is that the Joker hanging there? Because there's clearly rips in the face. Like, in on the lips area, that's not just paint. Like, the so it seems like it is either a human or it is the Joker hanging there.
Hmm. I'm not really seeing like, that, honestly.
The fact that this looks like actual wood and not some sort of, like, stone.
Well, I mean, like, if anybody here is, like, is Catholic, I've seen plenty of Jesus. Oh, really?
The one that he chases into the subway with the longer hair.
I've seen plenty of crosses in church and stuff, but I don't know. So to me, this looked like just a regular crucifix that you would see in a church.
See, and I think it looks like... I think it, the crucifix actually, may have been in the church, but I think that's a person. That like, look at the lips.
Yeah, because your point, if you look at his hands, is what gives it away, if you look at his hands, because they don't look as rigid as stone.
Dude, I'm telling you, yeah. I don't know how much time... I was forced to go to church so much back in the day, man. I've seen crucifixes that are so disgustingly realistic. I'm like, how can you have children looking at this?
Yeah.
Like, some of them are... I've seen worse ones than this, honestly. Like, this would be a mild crucifix, even if it was a dead body.
I think it's a dead body. I read it initially as a dead body.
It's
hard to tell, though, because in the previous shot, it does look like a stone face. But it looks like it's cut open, so I can't
I've seen a lot of crucifixes that have blood coming out of his head and mouth.
Well,
and stuff.
It's not that. It's the actual physical scarification in the lips. Like, it looks like it's cut. Like, the Joker's face is cut.
I mean, I kind of see what you're saying, but I'm
like
still...
I feel like we're not honestly going to find out until book 2.
Okay.
I'm just going to sit
here. Until book 2, yeah, we'll find out.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to touch on, we were sort of dealing in Bruce's past... there's a distinct and purposeful absence of Alfred in this.
Yeah!
I will also point out, you've also got Deadman, who's creepy.
We'll get to Deadman, because there's some ancillary characters, but I want to talk about the fact that he calls for Alfred, and specifically, Constantine says he took the knight off, and knight is capitalized, bold, and it's spelled as in,
like,
a knight.
Yeah, like,
in shining Jabba. Armor.
Yeah.
And
well, because that would be weird, too, because, like, it, like, he says this the next morning. Like, it starts out at night, and then in the morning, that's when Constantine says
it. And you would figure during the scene in the Batcave that we would maybe see Alfred in the background saying, Master Bruce, is everything okay? Like, he would be there as part of the story. So, I think... Alfred's absence is something that's important to what's happening. Whether that means that Alfred is the one, like, the Joker...
I didn't notice that before. Look at...
Huh? What is
that? Oh, is the woman in the green dress is the same one?
Yeah.
Is Alfred... Maybe Alfred's the inciting incident. Maybe Alfred is, like, Joker takes Alfred, kills him on the bridge, and that's the thing that breaks Batman, and he kills Joker in that moment. Or does he? Or is Joker even dead? Because the sequence of the whole bridge happens in ostensibly a flashback as he's bleeding out in the alleyway.
And he falls off a bridge.
He falls off a bridge and then has a hallucination that his parents come to visit him and he gets pulled down by Enchantress into the water again.
I will say this, he was a goofy looking kid too.
He was a goofy looking kid. But like, does anybody else have like, did anybody get that Alfred stuff?
Yeah.
Like, did it mean something to you as you were reading it?
I didn't really pay attention to it
because mostly I was just like, what the fuck is that creepy thing?
John Constantine specifically brings it up and it's in a, and then it jarred me because it was in a weird thing, but I didn't really think about it more than that because like, I'm convinced that this is just a nightmare, that this whole thing is basically some sort of weird fever dream that I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's going to be that simple as that in the end, but I don't know.
There are a lot of magical characters. Oh, Kat, did you have any like specific feelings about the Alfred thing? Like, did you even notice as you were reading through?
I saw the knight thing, and I knew it probably meant something more, but I didn't delve in. I didn't think about it too much, because I'm like, okay, number one, when you hit book one, they're like, here's 14,000 questions.
Right.
So
Good questions, too.
Yeah. And so, I'm assuming this is Atana.
See, and I was going to say that, like, a lot of the magical characters are in this. Zatanna, Deadman. I mean, I assume it's Zatanna.
She looks like, it looks like her. She's got, except she looks a little, not as put together.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this world is broken down in such a way that, like, Zatanna's a street performer?